Genesis chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, 'She is my sister'?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife will surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night, and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath his advisor and Phicol the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, 'Let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.' So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths. And Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. The same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, 'We have found water.' He called it Sheba. Therefore The name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Beloved in the Lord, we come to this 26th chapter in our study of Genesis, to what is perhaps the most that we will hear the author of Scripture tell us about the life of Isaac. We'll hear some more things in the 27th chapter, but he's not the main character of that chapter. Isaac appears in this chapter as the main character, and this chapter is about the Lord appearing to Isaac so that Isaac will recognize that he is the heir to the promise. And so we're going to learn much about Isaac as we look through this chapter together. As we have read it, we see that it begins in the first verse that tells us that he went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Isaac was, like Abraham before him, a nomad, and he was one who would travel from place to place. When there was a famine in the land of Canaan, he went with his family to where the food was. And Gerar is where Abraham, his father, had spent time, and God had protected Sarah there. And it tells us then in the text that God appears to Isaac. And in this appearance, he speaks to Isaac, in which he tells Isaac that God, who had blessed his father, is now going to bring that promise to Isaac, and that through Isaac, the blessing would come. This is the first time we find recorded in the Word of God that God speaks with Isaac. It is the first time when the Word of God comes directly to him, and the proper response when the Word of God comes to someone, Abraham or Isaac, is that that person must now act in faith. And God had given him every assurance that this promise would be secured for him. That was God's word of promise, just like it was with Abraham, his father. And because Abraham had acted and obeyed in faith, now this was the word that God was giving, the word of promise to Isaac, his son. And the proper response would have been for Isaac to act in faith, but we find immediately after the Lord leaves him, the text turns our attention to the incident that begins in verse 6. He settled in Gerar. This is right after the appearance of the Lord. And when the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." This is familiar to us. He is repeating his father's sins. The text tells us he gives this answer because he feared the Philistines. He had just heard the promise of God, and he does not rest in that promise. He does not put his faith in that promise. He does not obviously believe that God would take care of him, the very God that had just told him, "I will bless you." Instead of resting and relying on God by faith, he repeats the sin of his father Abraham. He lies about his wife and their real relationship for his own self-protection, self-preservation. I find it indeed strange that God, who appeared to Isaac to bless him, that Isaac would immediately thereafter forget that God had not only promised that, but he would not put his faith and his trust in the God who would be able to preserve him and his life among the Philistines. Now perhaps we might think that that is strange in the life of Isaac, but isn't it also strange in our life when we fail to trust God, to trust him for his provision, to trust him for his grace, to trust him for his love, to trust him for wisdom, to trust him for the grace and the strength we need to obey his word. And sometimes, like Isaac, we find ourselves, instead of hearing the promise of God and acting in faith, we find ourselves doing just what Isaac was doing, what we think is best, but not obeying the word of God. Sometimes we repeat the sins of those who have gone before us, like Abraham, Isaac's father. Isaac did the very same thing. He didn't learn from his father Abraham that God will preserve, God will protect. God, when he has his hand upon his servant, preserves them even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. His faith should have been in the Lord, but it was not. Our faith, beloved in the Lord, must always rest in the Lord. But we find that God has his purpose for Isaac as well as he did for his father Abraham. He exposes the sin of Isaac. It says here that in verse 8, Abimelech was looking out the window and he saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. I think in the original Hebrew, it doesn't mean laughing like we would expect laughing at the telling of a joke. I think they were having the kind of relationship that a husband and wife would have, and they were laughing together and enjoying that close and intimate fellowship. And when Abimelech sees this out the window, it registered with him immediately, and he called Isaac into his presence, and he said, he didn't beat around the bush, did he? Behold, she's your wife. He drew that conclusion from what he saw through the window. And through that, God exposed the sin of Isaac. The sin of not trusting the Lord. The sin of disobeying God. God exposes sin. God exposed Isaac. When you are disobeying God, God already knows about it. You don't have to inform him. And sometimes, like Abimelech here, the world sees our sin too. There is always some unbeliever watching us from the window, it seems. They're so ready to point out our sins, and perhaps God places them there for our good, that we might walk in obedience to his word and in faithfulness to him rather than in the wisdom of our own understanding. Sometimes, sadly, Christians sin before the world, and the world has to rebuke us. And instead of good deeds that we do that glorify our Father in heaven, we live in duplicity, and the failures that the world observes are those things which they use to rebuke our sin and which God uses to rebuke us and our lack of trust in him. From this, the author moves now to the struggle between Isaac and Abimelech as we have it in these verses following the incident with Isaac and his wife. It begins at verse 12, where all of a sudden we find that there is this titanic struggle going on between Isaac and his herdsmen, and the herdsmen and the servants of Abimelech. It begins at verse 12, though, by telling us that God sovereignly had placed his hand upon Isaac, and he prospered him. And it tells us that Isaac began to sow and reap in the land. And did you see what it says? And he reaped that year, 100-fold. Now, perhaps a normal crop might have been 30-fold or 50-fold or at best, 80 times what he had sown. But here it tells us, because of God's gracious hand, it was 100-fold. It is indicative of the special blessing that the Lord had for this man who was his called and devoted servant, whom he would bless sovereignly. And God places this special blessing upon Isaac, and it tells us, as it goes on in verse 12, to say that not only did God bless him, but he made him, verse 13, become rich. And he gained more and more until he became very wealthy. The author, Moses, is telling us this guy had God's rich hand of blessing upon him. He had livestock so large and so bountiful that he had to enlarge his camp. And he had to send his servants out here and there to go and find the wells of water, because that's how you took care of your livestock in that day in that ancient Near Eastern Palestine country, which is so difficult to find water. You had to dig a well. And as the Philistines saw all of the blessing that came and that was poured out upon this man, he became rich. It just simply says they envied him. And it came to a point where it says Abimelech asked Isaac to leave. Contrary to the covenant that Abimelech had made with his with Isaac's father Abraham, he now asks Isaac to move off the land, the very land God had promised to him. And the Philistines are now using this as a chance to hurt Isaac. Would he stay? Would he go? And the question for us is, would he rest in faith? Would he trust the hand of God that not only had blessed him and had given him the blessing of wealth and all of these other things, but that very hand of God which had promised that this land would belong to him and his descendants? Would he be strong in faith in the promise of God? No, he didn't do that again. Like his father Abraham in many instances, and like many of us, he did not stand firm in faith. Instead of resting in that covenant with Abraham, Isaac begins to dig for water himself. These new wells only became a source of further quarrels between the herdsmen of Isaac and Abimelech. And they named the wells. That's what you do in those days. You name the place after the incident that occurs there, and that's how people would remember what happened there. So if you want to remember what happened in this titanic clash between the herdsmen of Abimelech and Isaac, you only need to know the name of the Hebrew words that were untranslated in this particular translation that we read this morning. The one word means wrangling, and the other word means quarreling, and we understand those words well. If we've had any family get-togethers, families have a tendency to wrangle and quarrel over things, especially over money. But there was a wrangling and a quarreling that went on between Isaac and Abimelech and his household. And all of this came about because Isaac was not where God wanted him. God wanted him in Canaan. He had called him to go there. God had filled his path with trouble, and he was blessed even in disobedience. The grief, the pain, and the sickness that he endured were all messengers from God sent to Isaac to say, turn to the Lord. All of these were designed to bring Isaac to Beersheba, ultimately where he does come at the very end of our passage, where he is not only blessed, but we find that God meets him there, and Isaac worships God there, and in Beersheba, the well of blessing is where, or the well of the oath, we find is where God brings the fullness of his blessing upon Isaac. So let's look at that blessing. Isaac relocates to Beersheba. We find that as we find him in verse 32, saying that his servants had told him that they had found water. We have found water. He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And there is where God appears to Isaac, having given him a firm promise. He rests now in the promise of God. Digs a well where God had led him, where God wanted him. When God wants us somewhere to do something, the blessing comes when we're there, not when we're headed the other direction. And what comes about when God blesses him after he is in Beersheba is recounted for us in verses 26. Now Abimelech, remember he had said, get out of here, get out of town. You're too rich, you're too big, you're too prosperous for us. We don't want to have any trouble. Remember he had said, get out of town earlier? Now we find in verse 26, Abimelech comes to him and he says, We need to have an agreement, a covenant. What a surprise this was to Isaac. Abimelech coming in peace and for peace. Abimelech has to admit that God blessed Isaac, and he would rather make a covenant with him than remain enemies. God brought about a marvelous transformation in the life of Abimelech and blessed Isaac in it. And Isaac became recognized through this as a ruler in the land. He became respected and known throughout the land for the blessing of God resting upon him, because Isaac was the man of God's choosing through which the blessing would come. The blessing that he had rehearsed with him earlier in this passage, the blessing which he had given to Abraham his father, the blessing which was through him the nations of the earth would be blessed, the promise of the Messiah. And all of this comes to a man who throughout this chapter stumbled in his faith, failed to serve God in many ways, until finally, through God's divine intervention, he leads him at the very end of this chapter to the place of blessing which comes in obedience and faithfulness to God's word. Now, that's really just a great overview of this beautiful chapter and this incident. But what I want to say about this is that even though this chapter reveals the failures of Isaac, they're not hidden. They're plainly told. He lied about his wife. He relied on his own wisdom in digging the wells and brought about great conflict between himself and Abimelech until he came to that place of blessing. He was living in disobedience to the word of God. But do you know this? Nowhere in the Bible do we read that God rehearses the sins of Isaac. Nowhere do we find it recorded in the Word of God, other than right here in this place, that he failed to serve the Lord. Because from this point forward, Isaac, like those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, finds that the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers the sins of God's people. He is not disqualified by these things from being the recipient of the blessing which would bring forth the line of the Messiah. God says he is not ashamed to be called Isaac's God in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We may disappoint God many times, like Isaac does, but what is the great lesson for us? As Romans 15 verse 3 says, the things that were written beforehand were written for our instruction, that through them we might have hope. Our hope is that we too, though we fail, and though we don't always do what God wants us to do, we have in the grace and in the mercy of God forgiveness. We have a God who does not hold one sin against us, because they're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the scripture says he chooses not to remember our sins against us. He will not bring them up, because the finished work of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, has covered them all. And that's why we can confess our sins, and the Bible says he is faithful and he is just, and he will cleanse us, and he will remove that defilement. He'll apply the atoning work of Christ to our hearts and to our lives, that we may walk then fresh and new in the obedience of faith and find the blessing of God when we walk in obedience to his word. The lesson for us from Isaac is to walk in faith and to trust in Christ, to rest in his word. And no one who has believed in Jesus and trusted in him and is saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus, whose shed blood covers our sins completely and forever, no one is disappointed, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all of our sins. We need to rest in that, and we need to rest in that by faith and trust the Lord. That's what we learn from the life of Isaac. May God bring that truth to our hearts today. Amen.